So, Simone, I want to now get to my next big thing that I want to talk about today, which is, so if you think about a company that's wanting to move faster, that wants to be more innovative, that wants to operate like a startup, what are the easiest ways for them to go down that path in terms of what are the least constrained things that they can take advantage of right away?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sugat. So there are a couple of things that come to mind right away. So the first one is staying connected to end users and frontline employees, right? So this is kind of moving towards kind of a sense and respond scenario rather than the old approach of command and control. This is about understanding what end users really need, whether it's articulated or unarticulated. This is about removal of assumptions. And if we can shrink the distance between end users and those who are going to commercialize something and shrink, in addition, some of the processes in between, that's one of the best ways to accelerate the development of product, services, and effective business models. Specifically, the process of experimentation, for me, is the most powerful way that companies can easily start to move faster, because it doesn't have to be transformational. I mean, in a way, transformation seems to me to be a bit of a myth and pretty overwhelming. Experimentation can happen at a more sort of cellular level or in pockets. And I think that experimentation, by virtue of doing things on a small scale, allows us to move fast. It mitigates risk, including the risk of others getting their business as usual fingerprints on them. And I think, you know, this is pretty classic. So this is kind of what I learned from my research over the last 10 years with Jugad or Frugal Innovators, is the power of an iterative approach. It's kind of like a combination of design thinking and lean methodology, right? So this is a low resolution prototype is created, it's shared with end users and validated, that prototype is iterated upon, and you get information from each iteration, and it allows you to either move forward or not. So this becomes a kind of, proof of concept experimentations.
So I've heard a couple of really interesting points, Simone. One is that that companies are often stunted or hesitate because they have very large, transformational goals, right? BHAGs, if you will, that actually stop a lot of people from knowing what to do on a day-to-day basis. And so an iterative experimentation mindset, as I hear you say it, also allows people to now think about very granular, small, tactical steps that they can take. So the whole idea of it's okay to have big, mission, vision-oriented transformational goals, but in terms of the day-to-day behavior, it has to be around small incremental progress that kind of gets you going and builds momentum. That's one thing I heard from you. The other thing I think is really interesting, I think there's a kind of the first part of what you said, is around, it seems that a lot of companies do what they do because more or less that's how we do things, right? That's usually the answer you get. And there's never really, I don't think, an opportunity to introspect around what it is, what are we doing that's value add versus non-value add, right? Because if you think about companies and a lot of what they do are really about them, right? And protecting, political power bases or protecting egos or, and so on and so forth. But and I think all those are admirable, but it's basically navel-gazing. And what I'm hearing you say is that if you now start to make your focus external, like let's focus on the customer and how you serve the customer, that really aligns you to a different set of judgment criteria around what's value-added or not, right? And all of a sudden, if you're wasting a minute or a meeting or a week trying to resolve something internally, and rather than saying what's right for the customer, let's go talk to them, let's do something, I think that also has the opportunity to kind of grease the engine, if you will, in terms of momentum. That's what I heard you say.
Exactly. I think that the idea of experimentation is much more accessible. You can fly under the radar. In many ways, it becomes lower risk. And then, you know, once you get to a point where you have something that's slightly validated or something that's kind of a reasonable prototype, then it's harder for people to say that, you know, well, put their not invented here hat on. Mm-hmm. Right. And just like you say, I do think the idea of transformation is an important one. I just think it's hard to find if you look out there. And I think experimentation for that reason is a really powerful approach. And I think you can seed experimentation and kind of that mindset to start adjusting culture as well.
Absolutely. Can you share some examples of what that could look like?
Yeah. So I think that I've seen some really powerful examples of this in my practice. So I'll give you a couple of examples. One in medical device where I was working with a group to figure out how to create a higher value, low cost device. And one of the first experiments we conducted was to learn how many of the features on this really large device was of value. Now, in the old approach, we might have made some assumptions, stripped some features out, deployed the device in its new iteration in the market, waiting months for feedback until, you know, another iteration might happen. But in this case, we took really kind of fast and frugal approach. So what we did was we made a prototype, and that prototype in this experiment was so simple. It wasn't even a 3D prototype. It wasn't something that went through a printer or anything like that. It was literally a piece of paper, a bird's eye view. We drew the machine, just marker and paper. We got them into the room and we asked them to tell us of all these tens of devices, knobs, levers, screens, what they use. Most of them said they use two or three, right? And so this experiment adjusted very quickly how this new device, that one that was high value, lower cost, really focused on what the end user wants and needs, not what we think that they should have. And by the way, we quickly learned that a lot of bells and whistles were added on that just weren't used. You know, the end users are paying for this. So if you can imagine how quickly that shrunk the product development cycle of that device, just by creating this piece of paper, right? Just by running this small, very low risk experiment, it was extremely powerful. And it was a great example for this division of the company to understand the power of experimentation.
You know, in terms of this whole idea around being fast and getting something done versus getting it done perfectly, what is your guidance to large companies and their innovation programs around how to think about this?
Well, I think they're always sort of the folks on the team who get it, right? These are the innovators. These are the people who understand sort of the benefits of being fast and not always trying to be perfect and they understand the value of good enough, but then there are a lot of those who don't necessarily understand that for a variety of reasons. So I think one of the most important things that has to happen for innovation to occur sustainably within an organization is to help everybody understand the value of moving fast, for example. And part of that, is, I think you can do by creating an urgency, right? So, you know, we know that something like 50% of the S&P 500 won't exist in 10 years in the way they do today, right? That's 2027. It's not very far away. And we've seen this happening over and over again with the blockbusters and the Kodaks of the world. And so I think getting people to understand like that we have to change, right, to meet the demand of customers, to meet the demands of our end users, to meet the demands of Wall Street for publicly held corporations. Otherwise, we may not just be here anymore. I think the other thing to help people understand is the idea that good enough could actually be better. And what I mean by that is good enough means you put something up out there that's connected to your closely to your end user. You test it with them and see what they say so that you can then iterate and throw those assumptions away and get to what's really valuable. There's this concept of creeping elegance, right? And this is used in technology a lot. So if it, let's say, costs you X dollars and Y time to get to an 80% solution, it might cost you that same X dollars and Y time to get to an 85% solution, and the same again X and Y to get to 87% and so on. And so I think this is really the value of moving fast, because the truth is there really isn't a perfect. And then finally, I think, you know, what happens when people are asking for forgiveness rather than permission and moving fast and not trying to be too perfect, it's really about, you know, operating in stealth mode, right? So I think part of this is Again, this comes back to what we talked about earlier is how can you avoid being told no? Well, being fast is a part of how you do it, so that you can fly under the radar enough till you get something, a little bit of validation, so that others, by the time you present it to them, and you want to move towards, let's say, a more traditional commercialization, aren't going to just squash it with a business as usual approach.